Amen. Why don't you lift up your hands and talk to the Lord as Pastor Howard's coming? Let's open our hearts, open our spirits, let the Lord talk to us today. I realize that many of you probably have some plans to be with family and various things before this day is finished, and I want to be respectful of your time. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time here in preliminary remarks other than to say we do appreciate all of you being in the house of the Lord. What a tremendous touch of the Holy Ghost, and not just the touch, but I feel that deep undercurrent, something deep happening in our congregation today. And I just believe the Lord has some really good things in store. We had our children's revival this past week, three nights, and two children received the Holy Ghost, Landon Bagby and Morgan Brown. And both of these children want to get baptized today, so you don't want to leave before that happens. And anyway, I just feel some things on my heart, and I leaned over and told my wife, I wish Brother Baglin would quit walking all over my message. But he didn't get the vibes, the signal. And so I guess, Elder, I'm going to have to do what I promise. I'm going to have to straighten out some things. Amen. How many of you love and appreciate Brother Baglin? Been with us, what, 12 years? Hasn't it been 12 years that you and your wife has been here in Tulsa? He's lived here longer than any place else in his entire life, and he told you he was 81. And so I guess we must have treated him right, treated him so good he wouldn't leave. Amen. But thank you, Brother Baglin, for your years of helping us here and in the area, the different outreaches that we've started while you've been here. Praise God. Let's go to the book of St. Luke, chapter number 1, verse number 13. Special welcome to all of our guests. Thank you for coming. Amen. Luke 1, verse number 13. But the angel said unto him, this would be Zacharias, the priest, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And like this next verse, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, which is a New Testament pronunciation for Elijah in the Old Testament. What a mighty man of God Elijah was. He shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Amen. My subject today is going to be family revival. Family revival. Let's give some thanksgiving to the Lord right now. Thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace. Thank you for your wonderful presence that's in this house. Oh, God, let your anointing flow. Let your anointing flow upon this congregation. Let it flow through me, oh God. Lord, give me the words to speak. Confirm your word in this house today. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Amen. You can be seated. Of course, many of you have heard the story of the birth of John the Baptist. How that he was an answer to a prayer that had been prayed many, many times over many years by his godly father Zacharias and his mother Elizabeth. And they were childless and they were up in years. But God had saved something very special for them. And I might just pause here a moment and insert something that just fell into my heart. It's for somebody right now. That sometimes things that we have to wait for a long, long time, and it doesn't seem like God has heard our prayer, it's because He has something very special that He's going to do in His pre-appointed time. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Just keep on believing. Amen. God is true to His word. Amen. And at the time that John the Baptist was born, there had been a period of over 400 years that the voice of a prophet or a preacher had not been heard in the nation of Israel and Judah. And so, excuse me, it had become a time of great spiritual decline, and the religion was false pretense, and it was full of worldly pride and trying to outdo one another. Can you imagine how much turmoil there must have been, as far as spiritually speaking, in most of the homes in Israel, because God was left out of the equation? They were religious, but they were not serving the one true God. Amen. And so the time when things were coming together here, and the time that was spoken of in the Old Testament by the prophets, that the day was coming when God was going to bring deliverance, not just to the nation of Israel, but to bring salvation and make it available to the entire world. And all the way back to the book of Genesis in chapter 3 and verse 15, as God was judging the sin of Adam and Eve, and then He judged the sin of the serpent, of course, which was Satan, that was just appearing in this particular form and manifestation. And he told the devil, he said, I'm going to put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head. What? The seed of the woman is going to crush your head. I don't have time to prove it to you, but I could later. Amen. It does mean more than just a bruise as we would think of it, but it means a very fatal wound, something that's very, very significant. And said, in fact, he's going to bruise your head so much that it's going to bruise his heel. Amen. But you're going to be defeated. Amen. Then in the book of Galatians 4 and 4, and this is many, many years later, several thousand years later, it says, but when the fullness of time was come. How long was it from the garden to when Jesus Christ was revealed to the world? Thousands of years. Why did it take so long? Because God was saving something special. Amen. For a later time in the history of mankind. It says when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made of a woman, made under the law. Amen. When Jesus was birthed, He was under the Mosaic law, as it's oftentimes referred to, the law that was given to Moses by God, and He declared it to the people as they entered into covenant relationship with God. And so the purpose of this was that when Jesus came into the world, He could fulfill every little detail, every tenet of the Old Testament law. Amen. He did not do away with the law. He fulfilled the law. Amen. He was the first one to successfully pass the test and be able to fulfill all the requirements of the Old Testament law. And now He was introducing something different. Instead of the law being written on tablets of stone by the power of the Holy Ghost, amen, the laws of God will be written upon your heart, upon fleshly tablets, instead of tablets made of stone. And we will do by nature those things that were contained in the law. Under the law, they struggled, they strove, they tried, they did the best they could. They could be successful for a while. Amen. But sooner or later, the weakness of the flesh would prevail, and they would be coming back with a sheep or with something to offer as a sacrifice to try to buy a little time. Amen. That they could continue to be in the covered by the grace of God. So when God sent John, He had a purpose in mind. You see, after 400 years of no preaching, This would not be the ideal time, amen, for Jesus Christ to come as a baby into the world and try to address the confusion that was going on in the nation that was known for being, amen, the children of God. And so God ordained for this baby to be born to older parents. And there was nothing about his upbringing that was ordinary. Amen. There were certain things that he was not allowed to partake in. He was not to drink any wine or any strong drink. Amen. There were other things that he held to. And he was lived a very, I guess you'd say, a Spartan life. It wasn't something that we would call exciting. He spent his days until he come forth with his ministry, living in desert areas, in wildernesses. And he was kind of isolated from the people, but he was not isolated from God. We are not given the details of what took place in John the Baptist's life. We just know that when God said it's time, he came out like a roaring lion. Amen. He come out with anointing. He came preaching against sin. He was calling men and women to repentance. He was telling them to repent of your sins, for the kingdom of God is near at hand. If you want to be part of what God's fixing to do, amen, you're going to have to get your heart right. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus is coming for whosoever will, but that person has to get themselves ready, amen, to be longing and looking and watching for the coming of Jesus Christ. So he preached to them from his heart. And they were coming out by the multitudes. He was baptizing people all day long. He had disciples that began to follow him that no doubt assisted him in baptism and other things that he was dealing with. But he already knew, because God had revealed to him, you are the one that's going to be the one that announces the coming of Lord Jesus Christ. You get to announce who he is. My. This goes back to some customs back in that day and time when a king or a monarch or somebody very high position of authority came into an area, there was always somebody that went before them as a crier and saying, you know, the king is coming, and naming who they are or whatever, or the queen or whatever it might be. And so John the Baptist was the one that was chosen to herald to the world that God has come in flesh. Amen. And he has come to prepare his kingdom, and he wants you to be a part of it. Amen. Get ready. Get ready, for the coming of the Lord is nigh at hand. That kind of sounds like the day and hour that we're living in right now. Amen. I can't preach very many sermons without warning people, let's get ready. Amen. Jesus is coming soon. The signs of the time are all around us. Amen. It's time for us to prepare ourselves as a bride prepares herself for the groom for her wedding. Amen. Because we don't have that much time left. And so his ministry, John's ministry, was to make ready a people that was prepared for the revealing of Jesus. And in his preaching repentance, one of the things that is singled out, there's only two things mentioned here that's going to happen as a result of John's ministry of repentance, and that is he's going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Does that sound familiar from what we heard a little earlier today? Amen. He's going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Do you know, in this nation where we're living today, there's so much disconnect between parents and the children. In fact, there's very few two-parent homes anymore, unless it happens to be a couple of men or a couple of ladies that are masquerading as a married couple. Amen. There's just not that much happening out there. Amen. Along this line. And can you imagine, as I mentioned a little earlier, the confusion, the things that was going on in these homes, and the disconnect, no wonder they were not God-fearing people. One of the things, see, here's where Brother Bagland danced on my message. Amen. Even though it was more of a shuffle, but it still got the job done. But it is how that Satan hates a family. the connection. He hates the cord. He hates the relationship that can and should exist within a family. Amen. He knows when there's a man in a home that knows his place and provides the appropriate, proper spiritual leadership, he's got problems on his hand. He knows a family that prays together stays together. Amen. He knows that a family that faithfully attends a house of God and does more than just sit there and watch what somebody else is doing, but worships God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. He knows he's got a problem on his hand. So how does he attack a church? He attacks the families in the church. And we're living in a day and hour when the voice of the Father has been silenced. Amen. Husbands and fathers are depicted in our society as being a bunch of dull-headed men that don't have enough sense to come in out of the rain. Amen. Even in the wintertime. And they make all kinds of crazy, obscene examples out of men. And what they're doing, they're planting it in the minds of children that your daddy don't know anything. Don't you listen to him. He's a dunce. Amen. And this women's lib movement, amen, where it's total rebellion against any type of authority, especially within the home. And that's destroying the homes, amen, in America today. That's why so many young people grew up in that environment and they've opted, I don't want to be part of a family. Over 50% of the babies being born in the United States today are being born by a single parent. No marriage involved. No responsibility. No wonder we've got thugs running up and down the streets of America, burning down our buildings and attacking police stations and all the crazy things that's going on. And then we got politicians that's encouraging. That's what we need. We got to wake America up. Yes, we need to wake America up, but that's not the way to do it. We need an old-time, old-fashioned revival of repentance. We need it more than anything else. Amen. That's what God is longing for. That's what God is calling his church to. And it's time for you and I, amen, to give an ear to what the Spirit is saying unto the church. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you. Please be seated. You see, when you build a strong family and they're in the church and they're living for God, that's a bulwark against the enemy. That's something that's hard for him to tear down. That strengthens the walls. Amen. That makes it impenetrable. And of course, the devil's going to fight that every way he can. Somebody said, you know, I don't understand, but every time I try to get close to God, all kinds of things come up, all kinds of pressure. Am I out of God's will? No, you're right smack dab in the middle of God's will. Amen. That's the devil that's trying you. That's the devil that's trying to shut you down. Amen. That's the devil that's trying to discourage you. That's a time, amen, to just double up your fist and say, come on. Amen. If you want to fight, I'm going to give you a fight, but you're not going to stop me. You're not going to destroy my family. You're not going to destroy my marriage. You're not going to bring division into our home. You're not going to bring television into our home. You're not going to bring obscene materials into our home. You're not going to bring the world into our home, because we're going to have the same thing at home we have at church, and that is the presence of God dwelling with us. I want to get some fathers stirred up today. I want to get some men stirred up today. Some of you, amen, that maybe will be getting married in the next few years. I want to get you stirred up. I want you to realize, amen, here you are as a single young man. That's not a time for you to go stupid and crazy, but it's a time for you to draw closer to God and become a man that God wants you to be, so that you can be the leader of a home. Oh, my God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I'm just going to be a few more minutes. You can be seated. In fact, I'm going to bring it to a conclusion here shortly. But I'm going to tell you what anarchy, which is the baby of iniquity. Iniquity is a spirit and attitude that refuses to submit to to the will of God. Amen. People that do not want to be accountable, do not want to come under authority. Do you know that's being promoted in our nation by many of our leaders? We got mayors, governors, other people in positions in our various states that they have on their wall the diplomas from some of the major universities in the United States, and they are as dumb and stupid as they can be, because they think that what we need to do is defund the police departments or totally eliminate them from cities, large cities that have very high crime. And they say the way we could do this is we want to cut back all the funding for the police, and we're just going to send out social workers that's going to sit down and say, now, baby, we understand that you've had all kinds of problems in your life, and we want to help you. Here's you some money. Here's you anything else you want. Anything else that we can do for you? You've been mistreated. Oh, you poor little darling. My. This nation is in a mess. But bless your heart, the church is doing fine. We're going to stand for what's right. We're going to do what's right. We love what's right. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So many young people want adult embalmments. They want to do adult things, but they don't want to take on adult responsibilities. They want you and I as taxpayers to give them some kind of an allowance where they could spend their time just doing whatever they feel like doing, and if they want to, go tear down City Hall. We have to say, wow, they did a great job. They're getting better at this all the time. Hey, it's time for the church to stand up. It's time for the church, amen, to come out on center stage and let the spotlight of God shine down upon the church and show people that are scared to death because of what's happening in our nation, to show them that there's a place of safety, there's a place of security, amen. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they're saved. Amen. You're in a safe place today. And if you can replicate a small church in your home, in your marriage, your home is a safe place. But you got to have safeguards in place. You don't want your small children, amen, to get their hands on things that they don't need to see or be involved in. Amen. Put some walls up. Lock some doors. Amen. Put a fence around your place. Amen. Get you a couple of mean guard dogs that won't let anything inside the fence, because we're serious about going to heaven. We're serious about having revival. We're serious about doing the business of God. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. My. Come and help me out. Let's get ready. Praise God. I'll tell you, unfortunately, I think some, of course, they weren't raised this way, so they don't understand. They have to learn within time. But we have folks coming to church, but in their home life, there's areas that needs some real work done on it. Amen. Some changes need to take place. And I'm going to tell you something. We can't, dads, you can't back off and allow mom to do everything that applies to spirituality in your home. You need to be setting an example for mama and the kids and all of you together walking down the path that God has prescribed. Amen. We don't want homes that do not have biblical structure in them. And even as it was in the days of the ministry of John the Baptist, he brought spiritual restoration and turned the hearts of fathers back to children. And listen, he was anointed by the Holy Ghost, but he was not filled with the Holy Ghost as we are. And the people were moved on by the Holy Ghost and responded to the urging and the leading and direction of the Holy Ghost. But they didn't have Holy Ghost power in their life. But even with that weakness, I guess you could say, or the lack of being Holy Ghost filled because it hadn't yet been given, they were able, God was able to use the ministry of John the Baptist, as we refer to him, to turn the hearts of the fathers. Now, usually, you know who the hardest person to turn in a home usually is? In a home structure, you got dad, you got mom, you got kids of various ages. Many, many times, historically, you can get women in the church much easier than you can the dads in many cases. I have seen many exceptions, especially over the last decade or so. It seems to me like the men are more, in many places, are more hungry for God than the women are. But let that be as it may. But what I'm trying to get across to us is they had a family revival. John's ministry was a family revival. Because what took place is his ministry turned the hearts of the fathers back to their children. I know it sounds repetitious, but I promise you, I had no clue what Elder was going to be teaching on, and he had no clue what I'm going to be preaching on. And so what you're getting it is two times. That's God's way of saying, this is what I have anointed. This is my prescription for... This is the prescription that he has given to Tulsa Lighthouse Church. Will we rise to the challenge? Will we accept the message from God? You know what I feel like doing here today? I'd like to invite every father that would participate in what I'm fixing to ask you to do. If you've got children that are still at home, I'd like for you to come to the altar. Dad, mom, and those children that are here with you today. Would you do that? Come on down to the front here. Praise God. Oh, my God. We'll need to fill on in around up here as well. Come on around the altars if you don't mind. Oh, my God. Your name, Jesus. Wow. What if every family represented here at the front today? What if they had a revival in their home? Y'all come on up here too. Oh, Jesus. Come on, let's talk to the Lord. Let's talk to the Lord. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God, I need you. I need you. Mom, if you're here and you don't have a father in the home, I invite you to please come down with your children as well. Amen. I'm not trying to leave anyone out. Find your mama. Redeemer. Oh, that's it. Come on, let's begin to cry out to God. Make me what I ought to be, oh God. Oh, I need your direction. I need your guidance. I need a renewing of your spirit. I need, oh God, to deal with some issues in my family. I need to deal with some issues in my own life. I want to have a spiritual environment for my family to live in. I want them to be protected from the spirits of this world. Those of you in the congregation, would you please join us in prayer? Amen. Whatever affects these families is going to affect you. Amen as well. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, I see God touching hearts and touching lives. God. Oh, God. great work. Do a great work. My Jesus, my Savior, I praise you, I worship you, I exalt you, Almighty God.